Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Thoroughly enjoyed preaching through Joshua 23. It's like when you read a good book and you hate to get to the end of it. I hate coming to the end of Joshua 23, but we're going to press on. And particularly next year, I mentioned that we're going to be studying topics of the Bible. And I have read a lot lately where particularly young couples, and this is a good thing, want to know their Bible. But that's not only true of young couples. It may be surprising that out in general, now I'm not necessarily referring to our young couples here, but out in society, it might be rather surprising that people, young couples, want to know their Bible, but it's important for all of us. So we're going to be doing what is the equivalent of systematic theology, and don't let that scare you. It just simply answers the question, what does the Bible say about blank? And that's systematic theology, and you pick a topic. And then you look at what the Bible says about it, whether it's the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, God Himself, or whatever. But it's going to be, we want to make sure that this congregation has a foundation in God's Word so that you're not led astray, so that you're not confused, and I'm looking forward to that. But tonight we're in Joshua chapter 23, and we're going to be talking about the doctrine of separation. Now let me illustrate the importance of the doctrines of separation by an Old Testament story that you're familiar with, where Lot and his uncle Abraham moved to a new land, a new country. But that presented some problems, because Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, had a lot of livestock, and so did Abraham. And they were on top of each other, and it was creating problems between their herdsmen. So Abraham suggested kind of an obvious solution. He said, look, we need to divide this up. You need to have your land, I need to have my land. And Abraham, being a good guy, says to Lot, he says, you pick, you choose, pick first, whatever you want, you take that land, I'll take the other land. Now if you know anything about your Bible, you know that Lot did not choose well. Lot chose to live in Sodom. Sodom was a wicked city. His choosing to live there illustrates what can happen when you don't understand and you don't practice separation. Because it cost him dearly. It cost his family dearly. Listen to what one writer said about this, and I quote, "The fact that Lot's spiritual life was adversely affected because he lived in Sodom can be seen in his response to the men of the city who wanted to have sexual intercourse with the angels who visited him. Lot, if you know the story, compromised his morals by offering his virgin daughters to satiate the wicked lust of these, as this person describes it, sex maniacs. It was a wicked place, and it came to haunt him in time, in part because he did not practice biblical separation." And he goes on to say, and I quote, "The principle learned from Lot's example is this, that having intimate fellowship with unbelievers and their evil ways not only results in identification with them, but also an inevitable compromise of one's moral standards. Lot got in trouble because he violated the principle of separation. When you don't understand the principle of separation and apply it, it can come back to haunt you. Affiliation, association, companionship with the wrong people can influence you in a bad, bad way. But it's not easy. It's not easy to determine sometimes who should I not associate with? Who should I not have this contractual agreement with? It's a challenging principle, but it's a vital principle. And only, sadly, the more mature Christians get it. A lot of the times I see less mature Christians in a world of hurt because they don't understand this principle. Granted, it's challenging to apply, but apply we must do. Now, that's talking about Lot. We start off with Lot. Now, let's go back to Joshua. Let's go back to Joshua 23. And we're coming to the end of the story here in Joshua. And Joshua is of age now. And he's going to give the children of Israel some very vital instructions. And he's going to be talking about separation. That's the basis of his final instructions that he's giving to these people. The doctrine of separation has been around a long time. Those that understand it and wisely apply it are going to be benefited, particularly their children. Those that don't get it are going to put themselves in a very precarious spiritual situation. Joshua 23 starts off in verse number 1. Here's the setting, and this is a story tonight. And it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said unto them, he says, gather everybody around. I got something important to tell you. He's about to depart from the scene. And said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Now, we're going to look at a lot of verses, the remainder of this chapter, but we're going to skip around either some, just for the sake of time. So he tells them what God is saying. And God is saying, I want you to be fully dedicated to me. God always wants us to be fully dedicated to him. As far back as the days of Joshua, verse number 6. Here's Joshua's instructions from the Lord. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside there from the right hand or the left. As God's people, God wanted Israel to be fully engaged, fully committed. And God doesn't change. And today he wants us, his people, to be fully committed. Don't play at this. I mean, you're all in. And that was the instructions here. We skip down to verse number 9. And it answers the question, why? Why does God want this? Because I fought for you. For the Lord, in verse number 9, hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. So he tells them, I want you to be committed. Don't go left or right. You stay right on the path of being wholly committed to me. Why? Well, one, I fought for you. And the Lord has fought for us. I mean, he sent his son to die for us. We should be equally committed. But he also says, and he has a right to this, because he's a jealous God. I mean, he is jealous over his people. He was then, he is now. We skip down to verse number 16. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. So why does he want them to be committed? One, I have fought for you, and the Lord has fought for us. But two, he's a jealous God. I'm not going to share you with some other guy. I'm not going to let you worship me and something else. I'm not going to let you put something else before me. He's a jealous God. So he says, I want you to be fully dedicated. And then he warns them because the heathen pose a dangerous threat. The heathen people that surrounded the unbelievers that surrounded Israel, they posed a threat, a sinister threat. I mean, they could pose a threat of physical attack, but they could pose probably a more sinister threat of just evil influence. If you're around them, they're going to influence you. So look at verse number 13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But here's the warning. There's still some among you, is what he's telling them, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. The Lord loves them enough to warn them that if you're not careful, they are going to influence you in a negative way. Ken Ham has written a book about how the secular culture of this country has influenced the people of God and changed them far more than the people of God have influenced the culture around them. Just read his book. I forget the name of it. I can find it for you if you're interested in it. I may even have a copy. Ken Ham says it's amazing how there's no country in the world with more Christian colleges, more Christian TV programming, more Christian radio, more Christian printing, more Christian schools, and yet a more secular society. And he said that is proof that the world around us is influencing us. And that's God's concern. That's a real concern. And we see it happening today, that the heathen pose a dangerous threat. So he goes on to say, therefore, to protect yourself, you must establish separation. This is a vital biblical principle. But because it's hard, a lot of people just find excuses or reasons not to live it or believe it or go to a church where they're not going to be expected to live it. Listen to what he says in verse number 7. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. They may be all around you, and it may be impressive, and they may be thinking that, and it's saying to you, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. And if you look at them, it may look like they're having all the fun. But he said, I don't want you to even mention their name. He's talking about be separate. Be separate. You skip down to verse number 12, and it says, else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go unto them, and they to you, and we'll tell you what he's going to do with that, but he said, I don't want you marrying these people. I don't want you having those kinds of affiliations with them. You follow me why this isn't a real popular subject these days? Because we Americans, we don't want to be told what to do. I'll associate with who I want to associate with. I'll marry who I want to marry. I'm not going to answer to anybody. That's problematic. The Lord's very clear here. And then we see that there's a threat. If you intermingle more than necessary, you risk adopting their ways and pulling away from me, he says. Verse 16, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them. He said, that's where it's going. You start hanging around these people, associating with these people, interacting with these people to the degree that you're not supposed to. Sooner or later, you're going to bow yourselves down to them. And that's exactly what we see going on today. It's no different today. People are bowing down to materialism. People are bowing down to sensuality. People are bowing down to carnality. And many of these same people will tell you that they're Christians. Then he says, you will face the wrath of God. at the end there, verse number 16, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. I'm trying to show you the association, the connection between Israel then and us, how he fought for them, he fights for us. He blessed them, he blessed us, he was jealous of them, he's jealous of us. But this also not only applies to us individually, but us as a nation. We as a nation, if you're wondering, what's going on? This right here. So the summary here is very simple. Stay away from bad people. You say, what does that mean, stay away? What do you mean, stay away? Well, I'm going to get to that in a second. But here's a good definition, separation. Separation is that practical doctrine based upon what the Bible teaches about cleaving unto the Lord and leaving or ignoring anything that would hinder our personal walk with him. Separation is not only just to stay away from that which can influence you to do wrong. It's about clinging to the Lord. I mean, it's a negative. Don't do this, but do this. Embrace the Lord. We belong to him. We're his children. He has every right to expect us to live right. When you talk about separation, often separation is broken down into two parts. And they're both equally challenging to implement. One is ecclesiastical separation. When you say ecclesiastical, you're talking about the church. The Bible teaches ecclesiastical separation, which means little or no association with churches that believe false doctrines or have worldly worship. The Bible clearly teaches that. If somebody comes along preaching something false, you're to have nothing to do with them. And again, that can be challenging because some people may come along and there's parts that's pretty good. They're pretty accurate. And you come along and, yeah, but this is a flaw. This is a flaw in your doctrine. And it's a real challenge to us pastors to implement ecclesiastical separation. But with God's guidance and God's help, we try to do the best we can. That's why I cannot go to every meeting that's around and in the community and what have you. It's to a degree, it's me praying, and it's a judgment call as to when it crosses the line. Can I meet with this preacher? Possibly. Can I meet with this one? Possibly not. Can I meet with this one? Absolutely not. And it's not easy, but there is definitely a Bible principle of ecclesiastical separation, but there's also personal separation. And that's more what you're worried about. I'm worried about both. You don't have to so much worry about both. You know, that's part of my job description. You know, affiliate with who you should, but don't affiliate with who you shouldn't. And that's a real challenge as a pastor, but that's not our focus tonight. Our focus tonight is on what we refer to as personal separation, where you limit your association with unbelievers. You say, well, Pastor, that's just an Old Testament story, and yeah, that's happened then. Well, you know, trust me. It is spelled out, I think, even more clearly in the New Testament, this whole idea of personal separation. For example, 2 Corinthians 6:14, I don't think it can be stated any clearly, but before we read it, let me just ask you, are you practicing it? Are you aware of this? I know it's hard to do sometimes. I know it requires some tough decisions, but are you aware of this principle and you're trying to live? Because is it Bible? Well, listen to this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And the answer, that's a rhetorical question, and the answer is none. And what communion hath light with darkness? A rhetorical question, the answer is none. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye, us, are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And he says further in verse number 17, New Testament, 2 Corinthians, Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The Christian life is by far, it's an understatement to say, it is the best life you will ever live. But nowhere does the Bible say it's an easy life. It's the best life. We live in a sin-cursed world, and we belong to the King. But yet we're here among heathen people that in our generation are more and more turning against God. And this is a very important Bible principle. This principle, this doctrine of separation, makes it very clear in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 17. To be unequally yoked together means do not put yourself in a relationship where you can be influenced away from God. Don't put yourself, don't put your children in a relationship where they can be influenced away from God. You've got to have an awareness of that. And you've got to be willing to go to battle to achieve that if necessary. More. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're not getting your counsel from ungodly people. That's practicing separation. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. You're not running with the lost crowd. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. You're turning, you're recognizing evil. You recognize the potential for harmful influence. And you turn away from that, and you turn to God, from whom all blessings flow. Proverbs 24, 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. You've got to be willing to judge. Now, we live in the world where the most popular verse I've read many times today is, judge not that you be not judged. Judge not that you be not judged. Well, go back and look at the context, and it's not what the average person says that that means. Okay, they get it wrong. You can't be a good Christian unless you're able to judge. You've got to. And you'll only do that a good job. You'll only do a good job of that as you grow in the Lord, you grow in grace, you grow in the knowledge of His Word. But you understand, you know, in our culture today, you're put down on if you show any kind of discernment, any kind of judgment. But it is critical because how are you going to stay away from the counsel of the ungodly? How are you going to, you got to be able to determine who evil men are in order to not be with them. And if you're one of these dear people that, well, I don't want to upset the apple cart. Well, Jesus sure did. Paul sure did. And they didn't upset the apple cart for the sake of upsetting the apple cart. All you got to do is try to live righteously and judge those who would draw you away from God and stay away from them, and that'll upset the apple cart. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. One of the hardest lessons for new believers in some cases, is when they get saved, they can't go back to the old crowd. I used to go to the nightclub every Friday, Saturday night. Well, you're saved now. A companion of fools will be destroyed. Are you telling me those are wise people in there, drinking, cussing, carousing, telling dirty stories and cheating on each other with other spouses and whatever. That's hard for some people. Now, there are some new Christians that pick up on it right away, and they know, I can't go back to that crowd. They just, I don't know, God blesses them with an innate sense of that. Again, this is one of the most difficult passages, or one of the most difficult principles to live today. So let me give you 7 just practical applications for the doctrine of separation. Because you've got to have an appreciation of this doctrine, and you've got to live it. So just some practical helps. As a pastor that's been around now for a long time, this will help you. And I think this will give us some perspective, because people ask questions, you know, what does that mean? We can't. Well, here it is. Number one, biblical separation does not mean that we become social outcasts or isolationists. Okay? Biblical separation does not mean that we become some kind of weird cult group, social outcast, or isolationist. That's not what this is teaching. This isn't teaching go home, lock your doors, you know, and only come out when you go to church and you fellowship with other Christians. That's not what it's teaching. Number two, perspective. Biblical separation does not preclude us from daily interaction with lost people. It does not preclude us from daily interaction with lost people. I mean, your doctor may be a lost man or woman. The plumber that comes to your house, the electrician that comes to your house. You know, who knows? And in some cases, you don't even know. Sometimes you find out they're saved, praise the Lord. Sometimes not. Biblical separation does not preclude us from daily interaction with lost people. In fact, number three, and these are just helps from a pastor that's been trying to live this principle for all these many years. Number three, biblical separation requires us to be even more kind, helpful, and respectful towards lost people. Back when we were building this building a number of years ago, we had some guys come in to install something, and there was someone here that I was really hurt by how they treated these guys. I was really disappointed. And by all estimation, these two guys that came in to install whatever they were installing when this building was being constructed, I would just have assumed that they were lost individuals. And they were kind of talked down to at that particular time. Nobody in this room, nobody that attends this church now. So, long time ago. Nobody that attends a church. Long time ago. But it happens. And I confronted that individual. I said, that was not the right thing to do. I believe in Bible separation. But I think when it comes to the interaction that we do have with lost people, and we're going to have interaction. I mean, nowhere does the Bible tell us to, you know, go get on an island or build a moat around your house. No, there's going to be interaction. That's a given. But it requires us to be more kind, more helpful, more respectful. Number four, biblical separation should guide us in marriage, voluntary business partnerships, friendships, and those with whom you spend leisure time. The purpose of separation is to keep individuals from influencing you away from God. The plumber that comes out to fix your sink is not going to influence you away from God, in my opinion. No. But the person you hang around with every weekend could. The person you marry could. That best friend, the people you just hang with, could. And in those scenarios, the situations where it could pose a threat to your commitment to God, you know what they are. You know those situations. Like I say, going to the grocery store and having a conversation with the cashier who may be a lost individual, you know, God's not going to judge you for that. They're not in a position to influence you. You're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're not standing there. You're not connecting with them over a period of time where they can influence you. But these things that I just mentioned here in point number four all of those could be factors in drawing an individual away from God. So parents, when it comes to your children, you need to be very careful who their friends are. And who your friends are, who you're spending your leisure time with. Not a problem going to the store and learning about something at Walmart from someone that's working there. Well, you don't have to ask them, well, before we talk, are you saved, are you lost? That's a moment where you can have an influence on them. But to have somebody that's a beer-drinking, cussing individual come into your home and you spend time with them, they're around your children, Number five, biblical separation requires spiritual maturity and discernment. Biblical separation requires spiritual maturity and discernment. You have to pray to God to know, does that individual pose a threat? Yeah, we're to witness to them. Absolutely. Give them tracts, invite them to church. But are they going to be a threat? You say, well, what about family reunions and what have you? And there's lost people there. That's why I'm saying it requires spiritual maturity and discernment. This one is a hard one to practice. And that's where you have to ask God for wisdom. I don't know if that's going to be a bad influence on my kids or not. I don't know if it's going to be a bad influence on me. Well, I tell you, for Sharon and I through the years, on any principle, when in doubt, don't. I mean, if you're doubting it, err on the side of caution. But my heart goes out when you're in a tough situation and thinking, I don't know if this is just a casual thing where we're in, we're out, or if it's going to be a bad influence. That's why I say this is a tough one. This is a tough one. But biblical separation requires spiritual maturity and discernment. Number six, biblical separation will invite criticism, especially from your liberal Christian friends and family and people that are lost. It will invite criticism. Well, who do you think you are? We had the policy when our kids were young, we didn't go to movies. And it never failed. And on Christmas Day in the afternoon, some of our family decided, presents are open, let's go to the movies. And my kids, that was just one of our principles that we live by, one of our convictions. And we knew that nobody, our family's a good family. We love our family. They love us. But I knew they thought it was odd. I knew they thought it was odd. And we just, we were nice about it. Thank you for inviting the kids. But we're just going to have family time this afternoon. We tried to put a good face on it. We weren't there to stir up trouble. And this is family. But we didn't go. And it paid dividends for us. That lifestyle, I'm sad to report, did not pay many dividends for some of our family. And it was much more than that. It's not just a case of going to a movie and you're going to lose your family. But it's kind of the mindset. It's kind of whether you're serious about your faith or not. Number seven, biblical separation is practiced to guard and protect our fidelity with God. Biblical separation is practiced. Don't think of it as so negative that you can't do this, you can't do that, as much as I can go to church, I can go to Sunday school, I can have Christian friends, we can do fun stuff together that we don't have to worry about. My kids can have good friends, godly friends that are going to edify them, and hopefully my kids will edify them, and our personal friends are the same way, and you value your church friendships. Again, it doesn't make us isolationists. It's not a sin to have conversations with lost people, do business with lost people, and what have you. But that's where you need the wisdom and the discernment. Because God was concerned. He told them, he said, I don't want you to even mention their God. That's how serious God takes this whole thing of separation. But you needn't see it as a burden. You need to say, thank you, Lord. I don't know that I would have understood that. Thank you that it's in your word. Man, if I wouldn't have known this, I could have run the risk of me having the wrong friends and being influenced away and not even realizing it, or my kids being influenced away. Again, look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. It's very clear here. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And there's the idea, yoked together. casual business friendships and whatever, you know, being nice to people at work, lost people and whatever. But it's more talking about when you're yoked together in a marriage, possibly in a business contract, a friendship, or something like that. That's when you got to be careful. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And we'll conclude with this quote from Spurgeon, made in September of 1887. Neither when we have chosen our way can we keep company with those who go the other way. There must come with the decision for truth a corresponding protest against error. Spurgeon was preaching separation in September of 1887. I get so jealous of Spurgeon. He is so articulate and so smart. Listen to this again. We'll conclude. Neither when we have chosen our way can we keep company with those who go the other way. And the emphasis there is keep company with. He's not teaching them, let's just all move to an island and be a cult. He's talking about keeping company. These associations that can render us void of our true dedication to the Lord and fidelity. There must come with the decision for truth a corresponding protest against error. In my preparation for this sermon, reading up on separation, a lot of the articles talked about how so many people are not practicing it today. So many churches are not practicing ecclesiastical separation. That's a real danger. So think back to Joshua. The Lord said, I bought you. I took care of you. I won battles for you. I have sustained you. I am jealous over you. I love you. And God would say, I want what's best for you. So he says, don't even mention their God's name. And he goes so far as to say, don't even think about marrying them. Don't even think about it. And I imagine along the way there were some parents had some run-ins with Susan or with Larry. No, you're not going to date them. And it may have caused some friction. But wise parents know the truth and they stand firm on God's word and they're not going to be pressured by anybody to do otherwise.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.